Turn our Bibles tonight to the book of Mark, chapter number 7. I'm going to go ahead and say it before he says it. I know what Keith Norris is back there thinking. All those cell phones going off, supposed to be a warning of, I guess, a storm coming. I'm sure after the service he's going to say something that's about a warning that I'm preaching. So pray for me tonight as we look in the book of Mark, chapter number 7. Mark chapter number 7. Brother Mike and Brother Sexton, Brother Brian, Brother Jimmy Cooper, let me say that y'all look good in the youth choir tonight. I'm serious. That was a blessing to my heart. They ought to be up there on Sunday morning helping those young people. So thank you for helping out tonight. Mark chapter number 7. Verse number 24. Bible says, and from hence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon and entered into a house and would have no man known it, but he could not be hid. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. That's a good place to be tonight, church, at the feet of Jesus Christ. In the previous chapter, Jesus, he leaves Nazareth. He leaves Nazareth as a lowly, meek, humble carpenter. He comes back to Nazareth as a rabbi, as a master, as a teacher with the disciples in tow. And the Bible says that he couldn't do any miracles except lay his hands on a few sick people and heal them. He couldn't do these miracles because of their lack of belief, their lack of faith. The Bible said he marveled at their unbelief. To my knowledge, there's only two times in our Bible where the Son of God, Jesus Christ, marveled. Once he marveled at the lack of unbelief, at that lack of faith, and once he marveled at great faith, at great belief. And nevertheless, he leaves Nazareth, he heads to Bethsaida. And now he finds himself at the borders of Tyre and Sidon. In Mark chapter number 7, verses 24, we find Jesus had just been dealing with the scribes and the Pharisees. They were trying to entrap him. They were trying to catch him. They were upset. They were ruffled because the disciples ate bread with unwashing hands. And Jesus gives them a lesson on defilement. He said it's not what goes into the belly, it's not what comes from the outside that defiles a man, but it's what comes from the inside. And we find these scribes, these religious leaders, this sect, were trying to catch him, trying to find fault with him, trying to find accusation with him. But I hope you agree with me tonight. I have to agree with Pilate when he said, I can find no fault in this man. They were always trying to catch him. And he talks about the defilement, that it's not what goes into a man, but what comes from the heart. And we know it's a heart condition. Man's heart is desperately wicked. Who can know it from out of the heart? He says previous precedes evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, murders, thefts, covenants, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, evil eye, and blasphemy. And now he arose and he finds himself there in Tyre and Sidon, and he went for a purpose. He went for a plan. Every place Jesus Christ went, he went for a purpose. Everything he said for a reason. Just true in our lives. Everything that he lays in front of us, that he leads us into, whether it be the wilderness, the valley, the storm, or a great triumph, it's for the purpose. It's for his glory. It's for our good. We find here he's in Tyre, some 40 miles away from Capernaum. Some say it was the furthest that Christ ever traveled, 40 miles. And he finds himself here amongst some heathen, amongst a Gentile woman. And he begins to speak to this woman. We find, the Bible says in verse number 24, it says, he entered into a house and have no man known it, but he could not be hid. You know, many times in our Christian life, we do our best in certain situations, certain places, certain areas that we try to hide Christ. But I want to be like those in Antioch, those that walked, those that talked, those that acted, those that lived, those that dressed like Christ. And they first called them Christians at Antioch. Let me say tonight, if Christ is in our hearts, he will, one way, come out. His glory, he cannot be hid. His majesty, his power cannot be contained. If he's in our hearts, he will come out. In verse 25, it says, the woman heard of him. I was thinking this afternoon, how did this woman, some 40 miles away from the city and towns of where he performed all these great, wonderful, marvelous miracles, how and what she heard of him? Maybe she heard of how he caused the blind to see, or the lame to walk, the deaf to hear. Maybe how he raised the dead. Heard how he heals, how he saves, how he redeems, and how he provides. She heard of him and came. She fell at his feet. Let me say that. It's her faith in action. We preached this morning. We preached Wednesday night on faith. Having mature faith. How to grow and get more faith. Here she comes. She heard of him and she acts upon this faith. You know, I'm glad tonight as our pastor prayed and had these prayer requests. No matter our need, no matter our prayer, no matter what we have need of, that we can come to Christ. Why did she come? I mean, what was her motive? What moved her to come to Christ? What motivated her to get to this man named Jesus Christ? I believe it's a story of persistence. It's a story of her not wanting to quit. Her not giving up until she reaches the one that can help her. Everything's against her. Her social status, her race, her nationality, her religion, her gender. Everything's against this woman. But she finds herself at the feet of Jesus Christ. Let me say tonight, it doesn't matter our social status. It doesn't matter if we're rich or young. It doesn't matter if we're young or poor. We're new in the faith. Or it doesn't matter if we're an elder saint. Or it doesn't matter if you're lost. On your way to hell, you can find yourself at the feet of Jesus. I think of Jairus. This man, a ruler of the synagogue, daughter, 12 years old, she's dying, sick, and she's dead, and he invites Jesus to his home. He finds himself at the feet of Jesus Christ. That's a story of exaltation. Then we think of Mary, had that spiker, that ointment that's very costly, very precious. She finds herself at his feet, wiping his feet with her hair. That's worship. Then I think of Legion, the man of Gadara who lives among the tombs. He's cutting himself. He's unclothed, bound in fetters. But he's found sitting in his right mind at the feet of Jesus. That's the gratitude and thanks. Let me say, when we come to Christ, when we come to him with gratitude and thanks, when we come to him with exaltation and magnification, and come to him with true worship, true faith, things will happen in our lives. Tonight we find this woman at the feet of Christ. She has a need, and I'm glad tonight, no matter our need, no matter our desire, we can get to Christ. We can fall at his feet, for the ground is level at the foot of the cross. I see why she came. Her motivation, number one, is because she had a particular need, a specific need. an individual need, a personal need, whether it's a physical, whether it's a financial, whether it's a family need, whether it's a spiritual need. I'm glad tonight Jesus Christ, this one we're reading about, he's big enough to supply those needs. He's wise enough to answer and meet those needs. He's strong enough to meet and supply our needs. We all tonight have particular needs. We all have individual needs. Specific needs. You may not mention them in the house of God, but there in your closet at home, on your knees at the feet of Jesus, you cry for that particular need. That's what we ought to do. That's that faith in action. That's what this woman's doing. Her daughter had a need. She's sick, grievous, vexed with the devil. I don't know about you, but that moves me when my daughters, my children, have need of something. I love my family, my friends, my church members, my pastor, but something about my children, when they have a need, when they're hurting, when they're sick, when they have need of something, that moves me. This woman was hurting. I believe her daughter's sick. She needed help. Satan's in control of her mind, her thoughts, her body. Her daughter was nothing more than a servant to sin and a servant to Satan. But thankful she finds herself at the feet of Jesus. You know, tonight, that's the greatest need. The greatest need we should have, the most prevalent need we should pray for, is that the salvation of our children, the salvation of our grandchildren, the salvation of the next generation coming along behind us. This woman, she had this particular need that only Jesus Christ could fix. Only he could address. Only thing that, the only one that he could handle, this particular need. It's the most common need tonight, church. It's the most needful, widespread, universal, important need. Is the salvation of lost souls. You know, tonight we are all in this shape in one point in one time of her life. Shaping in sin. Born into iniquity. Fell short of the glory of God. Sinful. Wicked. Ungodly. But I'm glad that's why Jesus Christ came. When we needed a Savior. When we needed a remedy. The Son of God. The blessed Son of God, Jesus Christ. Shed his blood on Calvary for my and for your particular need. Now, his blood, it was the only thing that can make atonement for our sins. And let me say tonight, church, if you're here and if there's someone under the sound of my voice lost, this need has already has the answer. There in the Old Testament, those priests, they would offer the sacrifice, or they would enter the Holy of Holies and offer that blood, the sacrifice for the sin of the people every year. And it would suffice for a year. But year after year after year, they would have to go in and offer that sacrifice again. But I'm glad 2,000 years ago, there's one that came. And when he shed his blood, the perfect, sinless, spotless Lamb of God, that blood was sufficient. That blood was suffice. The Bible says, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered once into the holy place, having attained eternal redemption for us. What's your need tonight? Is it salvation? Maybe it's like this woman. She comes to Christ. She acts through her faith. She heard of God. She responded. She falls at her feet and she begins to pray for another. Make an intercession for someone else. My God, he shall supply all our needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. I see this particular need, but secondly, I see her position ought to be noted. The position she's at. Verse 25, it says, for a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. I said it earlier, that's a pretty good position to be in. This woman had some things against her, had some hindering causes. Some things that should have kept her from getting to Jesus Christ. Hindering causes. Those things that keep us from getting to Christ. The pride. So often when Christ is calling, Christ is speaking, Christ is communicating to us through his word, but because of pride hinders us to get to Christ. There were some hindering causes here in her life. In a society dominated by men, when a Gentile woman could have nothing to do with a Jewish man, yet her persistence pays off. Matthew, the book of Matthew in this account, she said, "Have mercy on me. Have mercy on me, Lord, thou son of David." And the Bible says that Jesus Christ, he answered her not a word. The disciples, the very one in tow, the one he's teaching, he said, "Suffer all the little children to come unto me." And he showed them love and showed them how he accepted all. They were telling him to send her away, for she crieth after us. There were some hindering causes. But let me say, I'm glad tonight. I'm so glad tonight he left the 99 and he came to this one lost sheep. Hindering causes keeping her to get to Christ. There's a position here that needs to be noted. She's at the feet of Christ. I can feel, I can see, I can understand this discouragement, the concern, the disappointment, this anguish she must have had. But yet that faith that we've been preaching about, that faith that she acted upon, she focused on Christ, her object. She heard, she responded, and she falls at his feet. Matthew 15, 25, the same account says she came and worshiped him. Mark says fell at his feet. She's down in a position that needs to be noted. You know, at his feet, she obtains mercy for her daughter. She obtains mercy for the one she loved and cared for so very much. I wonder tonight, church, how many true times do we get to the feet of Christ for the lost? A compassion, a burden, a desire to see our loved ones, our friends, our coworkers, our peers saved and born again. She finds mercy for this one at the feet of Christ. You know, so often we think getting Christ's attention, getting God's attention, is how we labor for him and how we work for him, how we serve and how we toil in the kingdom for our Savior Jesus Christ. But I'm convinced tonight, if we can just find ourselves at the feet of Christ, like Mary and Martha. Martha was doing the right thing. She was serving. She was being a good host. She was meeting the needs of others. The Bible says she was cumbered about with much service. She was upset that her sister wasn't doing the same. She said, Lord, canst not that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. Jesus' response to Martha, I think it's the same response he's telling us tonight. But one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen the good part. I believe what he's saying, church, it's needful. It's right. It's a position that needs to be noted to being at the feet of an almighty Savior. We find this particular need. She has a position that's being noted, that's being talked about. We talked about Jairus. Jairus, that ruler of the synagogue, his daughter was sick, his daughter had died. Publicly comes and falls at the feet of Jesus. She publicly falls at the feet of Jesus. We find that she, it's a position that ought to be noted. She's there, but not on her own behalf, but on behalf of one she loved. I was thinking of Abraham just a moment ago. Abraham, you know the story. Him and Lot was living amongst them. The herdsmen began to squabble and to fight, and it became so large. And Abraham says, Lot, you can go to the east or you can go to the west. And Abraham, you know the story, he chose the wild water plains of Jordan, and he pitches his tent there in Sodom. And Sodom, he lived there in the midst of the wicked and the ungodly and the sinful and the homosexuality. And the Bible says that Lot vexed the filth with a filthy conversation of the wicked. God destroys the plains. Destroys Sodom and Gomorrah, the men and the women there in the city. But he spared Lot. Why? Because Genesis 19:29, God remembered Abraham and sent Lot in the out of the midst of the overthrow. You know, it'd be something tonight that if God would save that loved one, God would save that grandchild, God would save that child or that one that we've been praying for so long, because he remembered your prayer. I'm convinced Abraham must have been at one point, one time, at the feet of Christ, a position that needs to be noted. Ruth, she found herself at Boaz's feet. Boaz, the type of Christ. There, Ruth out gleaning in the harvest, out gleaning amongst the field, following behind the harvesters. Boaz saying, drop handfuls of purpose. And in all of Ruth's working, all of Ruth's toiling, all of Ruth's labor, on her best day as I can figure, she gathered approximately 9 gallons of barley. That was pretty good. Her and Naomi was doing good, 9 gallons. That's a blessing from God, a blessing from Boaz, a blessing from the type of Christ. But after that harvest, there on the threshing floor, Boaz lays down, goes to bed, and he wakes up and he finds Ruth at his feet. The next morning he arose. The Bible says he gave her 6 measures of barley, 15 gallons of barley, being and lying just at his feet. Church, we can get more done. We can get more accomplished. We can see more souls saved. We can see our Christ exalted and magnified, high and lifted up, more than just being at the feet of the Savior. A position that needs to be noticed. There was a particular need she came for that motivated her, that moved her. But I see, lastly, there was some promises that were named. In verse number 27, the Bible says, but Jesus said to her, let the children first be filled, for it is not meant to take the children's bed and cast it into the dogs. And she answered and said to him, yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said to her, for this saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. I can't help but admire this woman's persistence. I mean, it was bulldog tenacity. I mean, she was going to find herself at the feet of Jesus no matter what. All of her hindering causes. She moved them aside. She didn't care about what others think, her pride. But she had to get to that one place. She had great faith. God here, Jesus here, is not trying to destroy her faith. As we read this, it sounds negative. It sounds cruel. He wasn't trying to destroy her faith, but he was trying to develop her faith. I believe it was Brother Brian Gillum, many of you remember, always said the faith is like film. It's developed in the dark. This was a dark time for her. She comes to Christ. It seems like he's not answering her prayer, but he's developing her faith. Verse number 28, and he answered and said unto them, yes, Lord, yet the dogs are on the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, for this saying, go thy way, the devil has gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out, and her daughter laid upon the bed. I believe she has some boldness in this faith. these promises that are named. She comes and falls at her feet. I'm glad tonight. Just as he said, for the devil has gone out of thy daughter. When she comes home, she finds out it's just as Christ said. I'm glad tonight, church, when God settles it or says it, it's settled. His word is trustworthy. His word is sure. His word is to be listened to and heard and to be responded to. It's settled in heaven. When he speaks, let me say it's done. I was reading this and it popped out to me the power that Christ has over Satan at a distance. Not only face to face, but at a distance, Satan, our adversary, the liar that he is, he has to yield to Christ's command. When we find ourselves at his feet, we're under his authority. We're under his guidance and under his direction. We've responded. We found ourselves to that position that's noted by faith. Satan has to yield to his authority. Promises are named. Turn with me, Will, just quickly to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9, verse number 27. You know, we preached Wednesday night on mature faith. This morning, how to have more faith. And tonight, we find mercy at his feet because of faith. In Matthew chapter 9, verse number 27, the Bible says, "And when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou son of David, have mercy on us. And he was come into the house. The blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? And they said unto him, Yea, Lord. And then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were opened, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, See that no man know it. He said, Be it according to you. Because of your faith, I'm touching your blinded eyes. Because of this woman's faith, she finds herself at the feet of Jesus. Her daughter is healed. I wonder, I asked the question this morning, what's your faith like? What is your faith based on? Are we focused on Christ? She heard of him. Are we listening to his word? Are we responding? If so, we can find ourselves at the feet of Christ, a great noted position, and find help in our time of need. Let's stand tonight, church. And Lee, do you mind to play something there on the piano? Our pastor read many, many prayer requests tonight, but yet it's not in comparison to requests and the prayers that we have in our hearts. We can find ourselves at the feet of Christ, church, in that noted position, having God's ear bended toward us, having his undivided attention, if we will only respond in faith. What's your faith like? You have loved ones lost? Children gone astray? Friends and family you love and you prayed for time and time and time again? Find yourself at the feet of Christ. He'll hear and answer our prayers, all because according to our faith. Whatever your need is, church, the altar's open. Find yourself at his feet. Lord, we love you tonight.